supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is an actual word at freedictionary.com. I know, folks, you count on me to bring you these revelations, and this is a revelation that that word has a definition. Yes, that's right. The word supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, one of my favorite words because I love Mary Poppins, has a definition. And that definition is found at freedictionary.com. Listen to this. The roots of the word have been defined as follows. Okay, follow me here. Super is above. Cali is beauty. I'm not sure I follow that one, but that's what it says. Fragilistic is delicate. That makes sense, fragile. Expiala is to atone. And docious is educable. Now, with the sum of these parts, this is what we get roughly. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, based on those parts, means atoning for educability through delicate beauty. And that, my friends, is the definition of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Atoning for educability through delicate beauty. And I'm all for that. You learned it here first. All right, now back to 1 Timothy. I'm going to clean up some of the mess I left yesterday, and then we're going to go, as I've been promising, I'm sorry, for 3 or 4 days, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, we found out that the root of all evils is not money, as this verse is often misquoted, 1 Timothy 6:6, but it's the love of money. So, we learned that devoutness with contentment is great capital. And of course, this doesn't show up in your bank account. So you can be extremely wealthy. You can be leading a mild and quiet life, be content, and you can be one of the wealthiest people on the planet, even though your checking account is embarrassing or your savings account is embarrassing. Because in God's sight, this is what counts and this is what you take with you. You're not going to take your stock portfolio. You're going to take the contentment and your life experiences. That's why I told you yesterday to invest in experiences. Go out to dinner with your kids, take a vacation, travel, see the world, spend all your money. If you die with your money, you're making a bad mistake. Well, yeah, you should save some of it up for your kids, maybe, but I've seen those ingenious bumper stickers that say, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. It's not too bad of an idea. So let's go back to 1 Timothy 6:6. Now, devoutness with contentment is great capital, for nothing do we carry into the world. It is evident, neither can we carry anything out. Now, having sustenance and shelter, with these we shall be sufficed, ideally. Now, those intending to be rich, verse 9, those intending to be rich are falling into a trial and a trap, and the many foolish and harmful desires which are swamping humans in extermination and destruction. For the root of all of the evils is the fondness for money, which some, craving, were led astray from the faith and try themselves on all sides with much pain. Oh my goodness, could this passage save a lot of people a lot of pain? Look at the big things here. Look at the big verbs. Intending. Those intending to be rich. Those who were craving money. Intending. Craving. They try themselves on all sides with pain. So it's not the money. You know, I love this saying. I saw a book one time. It said, do what you love, the money will come. And I love that, because it tells you to pursue your passions. And if you pursue your passions, it's like, ask yourself this question. If money didn't matter, what would I do in this life? If I didn't have to worry about supporting a family, or I didn't have to worry about my bills, it just, all that mattered was my passion, what I really wanted to do. That's what you're supposed to do in this life, ideally. Whatever you do where time disappears, whatever you do that you're passionate about, if you do what you love, the money will come. But if you pursue money, you're going to be miserable. I know so many people who just got through their jobs. They hate their jobs. They have to drag themselves out of bed, and they're just getting by to make money. Now, God bless you if you find yourself in this position and you have to do this. You're noble. It's noble to make money to support your family. But if you can do this, it's much better to have a passion than a job. much better to pursue a passion than to work at a job. I told you this before. This was the scariest thing I've ever done, what I'm doing now, to quit the post office to do this. But it's paid off because I pursued my passion. I'm reminded of a line from my favorite movie, Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. I pursued my passion. I did what I wanted to do, and God has supported me. It's not a luxurious lifestyle. I don't recommend it to anybody, but I do recommend this: pursue your passions. Because the opposite is intending to be rich. The opposite is craving money. Because as soon as you go down that road, you're led astray from the faith. Because now you're no longer pursuing God. You're no longer pursuing the things God put in you, what the person God made you. You're ignoring that. How many days in a row, how many years, year after year, can you go ignoring the person God made you? Ignoring what you really want to do in this life. And here's the key, I think. The key is to scale down your needs. Because if you want to pursue your passion, whether it's making baskets or selling ballpoint pens, whatever you want to do, chances are you may not make a whole lot of money at it. So how do you live? You scale down your expenses. That's the only way I could survive. I had a very thrifty wife who made tubs of oatmeal in the morning. We served the kids like, you know, the gruel in Oliver Twist. It's like, here's your breakfast. Here's your breakfast. And we hung diapers on the line, cloth diapers. And we lived very frugally because I had a very wise wife. Proverbs 31 wife. So that's how you do it. You scale back. You sell stuff. Do you want to be happy or do you want to have stuff? I recommend you sell your stuff, scale back, and if you don't need much money, you'd be surprised then the career opportunities that open up for you if you're not intending to be rich and if you're not craving money. Because those who are intending to be rich are falling into a trial and a trap and many foolish and harmful desires. To have a larger house and to break your back every day to have a larger house is a foolish and harmful desire, and it's swamping people. It's swamping them in debt. It's swamping them in misery. It's swamping them in extermination and destruction. Verse 10 of 1 Timothy 6, "For a root of all the evils is the fondness for money, which some..." or any in the Greek, which any craving were led astray from the faith. How serious is that? Not only are you led astray from your own happiness, you're led astray from the faith. And I think that's what happened with Demas. We studied about him in 2 Timothy. Demas, loving this current aeon, forsook Paul. He loved the current aeon, and I think he loved the current world, the arrangement, the cosmos of things. In other words, making money, intending to be rich. Led astray from the faith and try themselves on all sides with much pain. Paul's advice, "Now you, O man of God, flee from these things, yet pursue righteousness, devoutness, faith, love." These things don't cost anything, and yet they bring great peace. Pursue not a Fortune 500 income, but righteousness, devoutness, faith, love, with endurance, suffering, and meekness. You got to be meek if you're only making $25,000 a year, or 20, or whatever you're making, 30. You got to be meek. And chances are there's going to be some degree of suffering, but there's going to be a trade-off, because you're also going to find devoutness, righteousness, faith, love. Paul's advice, and my advice, is to contend the ideal contest of the faith. Verse 12. Contend the ideal contest. What contest? The contest of faith. Did you know faith was a contest? Who can have the most faith? Well, that depends. Who among us is having an expectation of things but not seeing them, not realizing them? Whoever still believes while not seeing the most is the winner in the contest of faith. Whoever believes in God while not seeing the most In other words, whoever has the least and believes the most, that person has won the contest of faith. And you might not have known that faith is a contest that's going to carry with it a wreath of righteousness in the resurrection. And that's when the bank accounts are going to be opened. I'm not talking about your account at Bank America. I'm not talking about your stock portfolio. I'm talking about the degree of contentment in your life, the degree of peace in your life, and the amount of faith in your life. And faith can only come by being convicted concerning matters which are not being observed. And if you can have that kind of faith, and I know I'm not challenging you to have it, because I know it's a gift of God, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, it's a gift of the Spirit. But this is great capital, and this is worth more than all the gold on the planet. And Paul's saying now in verse 12, contend this contest, the ideal contest of the faith. And then he says, get hold of aeonian life. That's what we're getting hold of. For which you were called. This is your calling. This is your ultimate calling. Oh, Martin, I just don't have a calling. You don't have a calling? You were called for aeonian life. You were called to be a member of the body of Christ. You were called to rule and reign among the celestials at the right hand of God. And you don't have a calling? Get hold of aeonian life for which you were called, and you avow, Paul to Timothy, and you avow the ideal avowal in the sight of many witnesses. And I still have not gotten to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Maybe tomorrow, but in the meantime, contend the ideal contest of faith. And as usual, as I'm exhorting you, I'm exhorting myself. Because we don't see a lot of things right now. And really, we don't see anything that we're promised. We don't see our throne. We don't see the celestial realm where our life is inherent. We don't see the beings we're going to be ruling over. We don't see Jesus Christ. And yet we believe all these things. And that is like ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Every time you believe God, when you're smacked down, ka-ching, you know how good it feels to go to the bank and give them a $1,000 deposit or $500? That's the most amazing feeling. Go to the bank and make a $200 deposit. Instead of a withdrawal, you make a deposit. It's fantastic. Well, guess what? Every time you believe God after a smackdown, you are depositing a gob of wealth into your celestial account. And this is a contest. And the one with the most faith wins. And the accounts are going to be opened. And the commodity is going to be faith, not dollars. I pray for you that God may give you a spirit of realization concerning this, and I hope you'll pray for me for the same thing. We're contending this contest together. I couldn't do it without you. I thank God for you. And let's push on toward the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, and let's do it together.